miss the little boy at play. I don't remember growing older. When did they? When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall? Was that his yesterday when they? Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers, blossom even as they sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the years. One season following another, laden with happiness and tears.
Well, it's still a good day. We still enjoying it. Okay. That hurricane is in the Gulf, and it will affect others in Louisiana more than us. We'll get some winds. I've noticed some winds this morning. But we're going to be all right, I believe, here in New Orleans, if that hurricane doesn't turn to the east. So we hopefully that will be okay with that. And the folks who do get the main hit, that they would pull through that situation too. Because it's going pretty much in the same area, huh, that the other hurricane went into. But that reminds me of 2005 when Katrina hit. And then afterwards, Rita came also. Because my area was dumped on twice. The water came in and filled the area. Nevertheless, we made it through, and God is still blessing us in the Ninth Ward. That's where I reside. Okay? So, And then I came to speak about overcoming. And the title of this sermon is He That Overcomes. And it's important that we overcome ourselves, the devil, and the world system. And if we are not successful, we cannot be with God. Okay? So He wants us to be with Him. So let us examine what we need to overcome so that we can work on it and be successful at being what God would have us to be. Right? Because He's a wonderful God. There's a lot here that He wants us to know and understand. For God made promises to those who overcome all things that offend Him and is against His righteousness. You see, mankind has a righteousness of their own, but it doesn't fulfill the righteousness of God. A lot of it doesn't. And we need to overcome unrighteousness and be citizens of God's nation. America is a nation of many tribes and groups and people. We have our own ideologies. Then we have our own customs. You know, all these different nations, they bring their own customs into the nation. And we have our own traditions. And our own gods. And we're trying to melt all of these and blend all this together into one nation under God. But with these other gods that have come into this nation, that's not possible. But we as children of God, we are to be separate from all these other gods and whatnot. And many of the traditions of other nations, they do not fulfill the will of God. We have to overcome all of these, for they are against God's righteousness and truth. And we live by the spur of the moment, our own appetites, and our own will. That's why we break the law sometimes. We don't all 100%, we're not 100% in the will of God. So God is still working with us on these different points of our lives to bring us back into favor, His love and favor. And when we become angry, we strike at people. We blame others for our mistakes. We lust after things that we should not have. But God is working with us. He's already given His word. This is what we ought to be doing and things that we should not do, thoughts that we should not think. So, these things we have to overcome so that we can be with God. Let's turn to 1 John 5. First John, the 5th chapter. I'm going to go through verse 4 and 5. Okay. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. See, this is one of the things that we need to do, overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in God. It's because without faith it's impossible to please God, but with faith we can begin to overcome the world because we put our hope and trust in God to follow in His ways. We accept His Son as our Lord and Savior, and we accept His laws and His statutes and His judgments, and we live by them. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is a problem for most of the world. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So you have to have the Son in order to meet the Father. You can't make it without Jesus. And I guess that's why a lot of the churches, they emphasize Jesus a whole lot. Because He's everything to us, you know, that we need to overcome all of the obstacles and the situations in life. Because after all, he did come to even die for our sins and pay the price. Let's go to Revelations, the first chapter. I guess I'll start reading at verse 11. Because I want to pick up who's speaking. Who is speaking? I'll start at verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Who is that? That is Jesus. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice of that one who spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as it refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now we know who that is, right? That's the Lord. See, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And what does he do? He has come to help him and give him the word of the Lord, that it would bless not only him, but all those who hear it. Okay, so I am he who lives and was dead. Now, I have to stop right here and see and catch this, because Jesus was dead, you all. He was. Because a lot of people, you know, they don't think that man dies. But if man don't die, then Jesus didn't die either. You know. But the scripture says Jesus was dead. And that is how he atoned for our sins. He had to give up his life. I always try to emphasize that, you know. Because Jesus had to die, see, and give up his life so that we would not have to give up ours. Okay, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is the New King James. Now, verse 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So I'm going to go through a few points on the seven churches, and I won't cover everything, just the points that I want to emphasize here. And it's about overcoming. Okay? So what does God, and we're going to examine it, so that the churches, see what the churches are to overcome. Now, the important thing is for us not to let the devil in. And these verses that we're going to go through is helping us to realize certain important things that we would not allow the devil in to our lives. We have seen recently, even in America, that there are churches that have accepted homosexuality and a bunch of other things that should not be, because that's against the will of God. But these churches had problems too. Right? So in them having their problems, God was showing them what they need to do so that they could do what? overcome. And so that even now, the churches who have accepted sin in their doctrines, they need to be told again also. Don't accept that. Okay? So let's go to Revelations 2, verse 4 through 7. This is concerning Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you. See? God can have something against his church. And so instead of just letting you go on, he sent the word so that they can correct themselves and be overcomers. That you have left your first love. Uh-huh. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent and turn away from whatever it is that they needed to repent of and turn away from it. Make the corrections and the changes in their lives so that they can be pleasing unto God. God doesn't mind patting you on the back like he did with his son. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He'll say that. But then again, if you're not pleasing unto him, he wants to come to you and let you know what you need to do to work out your soul salvation so that you could be presentable to him. He'll bless and help you and answer your prayers and be your God. And that's what he wants to do. So that's why he would send the word to you to pay attention and get this word right. See, so here's what he says in verse 6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Okay? And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. See, you'll be in the paradise of God, and you will eat from the tree of life that God is offering to all mankind. So what he wants you to do is hear from him. Don't close your ears. Don't become stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Sit down and listen. Pay attention. And then do what he says to do. He's sending his corrections. And of course, these corrections are not just for those particular churches. If we have any of these attributes in ourselves, we need to correct the correction as well. You see? Because God sent the commandments from the beginning. Thou shalt not steal. All right? If anybody in the church is stealing, that person need to be corrected. Okay? So these are some important points that he is also giving to the church. And we should examine ourselves, right, to make sure that we don't line up with these things that these churches are doing wrong. We want to line up with the word of God so he can say that he is well pleased with us. Okay? So hear what he says and make your corrections. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 2, verse. I think I'll start. I had 10 and 11, so let's try that. Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, and this is concerning Smyrna. Okay? Do not fear any of the of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. See, the tests are still going forth, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Okay, so this is the promises that God is offering to the church. Make the corrections. Line up with God's word. Because he's going to fulfill these promises in our lives. You say, don't be fearful. Mm-hmm. Because the devil is still, you know, going forth, right? And people will be tested. Remember, even in the white throne judgment, people will still be tested, right? So we have to go through the test and come out as pure gold, right? If you don't have no test, then you just think everything that you say and do is all right, like a lot of the churches are doing, okay? They have women in churches who have abortions and whatnot, and they think that everything is all right. It's not so. So verse 11 says, he who has an ear, again, he says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Okay? Death will have no dominion over you. Because right now, God has the power even over the first death to resurrect everybody from the grave. But those that still have to be judged, they will not even be heard of the second death. But the church right now is being judged, and so that the church will overcome and be in the first resurrection to life. Because we'll be changed from mortal to immortality in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. That's a promise of God. So that death would not harm those who are in that first resurrection. That's right. You have eternal life. So now let's go on to verse 14 through 17 in chapter 2. This is concerning Pergamos. But I have a few things against you. See, they have a problem. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. How to conquer God's people when he was supposed to be blessing God's people? Okay? Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. This should not be in the church. Must all these things need to be rooted out. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, you know who has the sword, right? The two-edged sword. That's the Lord. Now, you don't want the Lord to fight against you. You want him to correct you and bless and help you. See, but he will go against you if you go against him. And then try to say that you are serving God. No, you go before the world telling people that you are a servant of the Most High God, and your light is dim, then they'll turn and say, well, we don't need that. We're already doing that. We don't need your God to redeem us or help us. Our life is okay because we see what you're doing. Right? Because your light is dim. We want our light to shine, to be bright and shine before men, that men will see that there's a reality in serving the true and living God and receiving his forgiveness. Because people think, you know, I'm all right. I don't need nobody to forgive me for anything. But they do. Why is that? Because of these promises. You can overcome death. They have not overcome death. Okay? Verse 17, he who has an ear, again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. All right? I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Okay? And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Okay? So this is another important blessing from God. We want God to give us our gifts and our joy and happiness and the peace that he gives. Okay? Now let's go down to see what he says to Thyatira, verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Another church that needs correction, right? Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Oh, she knows how to speak the word of God. Okay? There are a lot of people in these other churches, men and women. They can teach real good, stir people up, get them excited, and glad to know that God is our Redeemer. Right? Are they really teaching them the word of God, or are they teaching something else? People get excited about false doctrine, right? That's been my experience. Coming up in my youth, I've seen a lot of ministers and whatnot who teach wrong things. And one of them is that our family members who die are looking down upon us. They can see us. See? That's not the scripture. It's not in there. But some people teach that. Mm-hmm. To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Yes. Isn't that something? And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Okay? Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. So we need to turn away from these deeds. Find out from God what he doesn't like. And say, well, I won't do that then. I want to be pleasing in God's sight. Verse 23 says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart. So he knows what you're all about. Don't go before God trying to think that you can say something that please him, but because he knows what's in your heart. Yes, he does. You're going to please him with words. Well, you can deceive me, right? But you can't deceive God. You have to go to him with a clean heart. Okay? And they say, give me a clean heart that I might serve you. And that's what you need. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. See, God understands and knows you. Verse 24 says, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. See? But hold fast what you have till I come. Until he comes. And he who does what? He who overcomes. This is the part that I'm going to get to. And keeps my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. You see, that's another promise. If you endure until the end. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my father. See? The power to rule over nations with a rod of iron. That is what Jesus is going to do. And we'll rule over them right at his side. Right. I love reading these things to know that we are to be like God. Mm-hmm. So wonderful. So let's go to Sardis, chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. Okay. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. See? So they need to do some correcting also. The important thing about this is God is not leaving them to, so to speak, stew in their own juice and just fail and fall apart. He's sending the word to them so they can correct themselves. Because he what? Loved them. Yes. So he said, remember, verse 3, therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. See, don't let God catch you wrong, you know. When he comes, you want to be able to say, here comes the Lord, and jump up and down and have your a joyful time. You don't want to be the ones that's running to the rock saying, hide me from the wrath of the Lord. No. But if you claim to be in God's church and you love him, and then you should want to do what he says. So that when he comes, you could be rejoicing. Because your Lord is coming. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. See? I think that's wonderful when God will say that we are worthy. And he who overcomes, there it is again, shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What another blessing that God is bestowed upon those who love him and are striving to stay clean in mind, in heart, in clean hands before God. Let's go to verse 9, because we're going to catch Philadelphia. All right, this is Philadelphia. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now, this is to the church. You know, there are people who think that, you know, we can say that we are Jews and whatnot, so that makes us right before God. No. It's those that are striving to live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. See? And you'll be judging them. So don't be thinking that your bloodlines will get you in favor with God. No. Scripture says Abraham was faithful and he obeyed. That's what we're looking for, and that's what God is looking for. People who are willing to obey God. Because you have kept my command to persevere. You see, this is it. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Test them. As we go through the fire and come out pure gold. So, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. No, don't let people fool you. Search for God in all things. The wicked will continue to keep troubling. See, but we want the rest of God. So he would, if we want to abide in his tabernacle, right, and be at peace. He who overcomes, there it is again. He who overcomes, what will he do? I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. See? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right? He's telling you how to be corrected, how to endure to the end, how to walk in his statutes and his commandments and his ways, right? All because he's God and he loves us. Let's go to, we're going to check out Laodicea and verse 15. Okay, this is what he says to Laodicea. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. That's what he wants. You're either cold and hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. See, that's not pleasing to God, see? It's not a sweet savor unto him. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, because you do not understand the spiritual application of these concepts. You're looking at the flesh and see that you have all your money and your garments and your hat on your head. You have the wife of your youth and your children growing up before you. But you practice iniquity and lawlessness. See? That's where your problem is. So that's what we have to do, is be careful to understand God's word in the spiritual application, not in the natural. I've said, and many of us have said before, if you look in the natural, you will miss out on the spiritual, right? You say, walk in the spirit and fulfill the desires of the spirit. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness, you see, the shame, may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. See? So you're supposed to be walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. So repent from walking in the flesh. The flesh will kill you. Right? You do not have life walking in the flesh. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. That would be wonderful to be welcome to the table with the Lord, rather than him leave you outdoors. That would be a major problem. But some people think, I guess they think that they can live any kind of way and still be at the table with the Lord. Not so. It's impossible. God is only coming back to sup with his people, his royal nation that love him. See, because when you turn away from God and decide that you want to do what you want to do, which is contrary to the word of God, well, then you say, well, he doesn't want me. That's what God will say. So he has no qualms or no problem with just turning away from you, because he said in the word, if you turn away from me, I'll turn away from you. You will not be at his table, saints. We have to continue to work on our soul salvation. Don't think that we have arrived and whatnot, because we're going to do some things in our life that we shouldn't do every now and then. We're not that great to do 100% what God says to do 100% of the time, right? So we have to repent and turn away from these things that God told us to turn away from. Because if you don't do that, then God wouldn't even wash that new sin away, right? He had to forgive David over and over again. That's right. And that's what he's going to do. He wants to do it for us, to forgive us of all iniquity. To him who overcomes, there it is again, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. How would you like that? To sit on God's throne with him. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, listen folks, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Listen, and I always be praying that I will hear from God, hear what I need to hear and see what I need to see, so that God could bless me and I will be walking in His way and I will receive His love and favor. I always ask for that, you know. Don't let me be deceived and tricked. I pray for the whole church. Don't let the church be deceived or tricked by this world. That's right, because there are a lot of lies going forth. We want the truth. God's word, the truth. Search the scripture, brother. Revelations 21, verse 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit what? All things. Wow. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is what we do not want. We want to get rid of all of these things that's mentioned in verse 8. Get that out of our lives and be clean before God. And He will clean us up if we repent, because He loves us. Imagine all the things that we have done against Him, and we deserve death. But He said, just come back. Like He told Israel, oh, backsliding Israel, come on back to me. He said He was married to him. He said, I'll receive you. But that's still a problem that's still being worked out for the children of Israel. Because God does not want them to perish either. Now, some of the promises were already given. Let's see in Hebrews 11, verse 17. That's, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. See, just like God did with Jesus, okay? Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Right? And, let's go to verse 33. Who through faith, see, there's faith again. You got to have faith to please God. Subdued kingdoms, work in righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouth of lions. These are men of faith who believe God. And because they believe, they did what He said. They were not 100%, but God forgave them. Okay? Just like He forgives us now. We still have a high priest, don't we? That's Jesus. He is the one that is helping us along the way. Now, this also includes the Gentiles. Let's go to Romans 15. It's not just for Israel. Remember, the Gentiles have been grafted in with Israel. One big spiritual house is not divided. Verse 7 says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Okay? Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as is it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. See, you grafted in, and now you are called the people, the children of God. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Huh? We have hope in God? Yes, we do. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because those who have God's Holy Spirit, those are his people, his children. So that when you assemble to worship, that's what he does. He recognizes you as his children. Because I remember when I was young and I was not part of God's church, I hadn't confessed my sin. I was in the worship service, right? I was there pretty much every week. But God didn't recognize me as his child because I had not, you know, repented and turned away from sin. Okay? That is important, that we repent and be baptized, every one of us, for the remission of sin and receive God's Holy Spirit. And by that time, then he'll say, okay, that's my child right there. He recognizes you. And I think that's wonderful that he recognizes us after we do what he told us to do. See, all God's promises will unfold and be fulfilled when the Lord returns. But David said he wants God to examine him. Okay? Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 26. Get out of the way. See, God, when he examines us, then he can say, you know, this either is my child or not. Right? So, verse 1. Let's go start up in verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Okay? I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Shall not slip and fall into diverse sins and pleasures of this world. But if you make a mistake and do something wrong, you got to go before the Father. Don't act like you didn't do anything. Okay? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind, my heart, the inner part of my being. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals. See? It's not just the idea of sitting with them. It's what it's saying is you partake it in doing what they are doing. Okay? Don't walk like they walk. Don't talk like they talk. All the cursing and whatnot need to be out of our lips. Okay? Now, I know sometimes when people get angry, you know, something might slip out. But then you go before God and say, you're sorry. Right? Don't act like that's just washed away because you've been in the church for 50 years, okay? Go and say you're sorry. So God can wipe that away, too. I have hated the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord. So he compares the altar. And while he is clean before God. You know, just doing something that's not mean anything if you're not clean. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Yes. That's another important thing. We should be able to tell of God's wondrous works. And people would listen to us and believe in God. Why? Because they see your light shining. They see you doing all right. Everybody else is falling apart. And why are you not falling apart with us? You know, when calamity falls, right? And then you can tell them, the Lord is with me. Huh? What's that? Is that in the 23rd Psalm? But thou art with me. All right. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Yes, I'm comforted. You know, all the rest of the people are falling apart. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners. All right? If you have to reprove them, don't reprove me, because I have my integrity of my heart and I'm trying to walk in your ways. Okay? Nor my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. How can you bless the Lord if you have unclean hands, unclean lips? All right? You can't. Okay? You can't say glory to God in the highest, right? Because even if you say it, it's not received by God. No. You have to be clean before God. Let's work on that, because you have to overcome, you see? Now, besides God examining us, we have to ask him, we need to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11. Y'all remember when we go through the Passover? We need to examine him ourselves. See? Because before you partake of the Passover, which is the body and blood of the Lord, you have to be clean before him. All right? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of their bread and drink of their cup. Right? Don't go before God unclean, because you're eating and drinking unworthily, in an unworthy manner. 2 Corinthians 13. Hey, it says many are weak and sickly, and some are asleep, as they go before God any old kind of way. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Okay? Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. That's what it says in the New King James. See? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. And I was going to, okay, I'm going all the way to verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but do things for the truth. You see? We want the truth. And this word is the truth, God's word. And it leads and guides us in the right path of righteousness. Okay? Because without the truth, I mean, how much error do you think that there is in the world? It's too much. Let's say it that, like that. There's too much error in this world. And people tend to think that even though these are errors, they don't even know a lot of the things that they do is an error and a transgression of God's laws. So they think that everything they do is all right. I wonder if they're obnoxious and the ones that murder, do they think that they're right? A lot of them do. Especially if they have some kind of justification in their heart, you know, trying to do something good and they end up murdering somebody, or maybe like the folks that's out there in the streets, you know, in areas of the United States today, they burn down buildings because they think that, you know, they justified that in justifying dealing with something that's wrong. But my mother and, you know, I've always heard in my family, two wrongs do not make a right. Try to do what is right. Now, you would need to be in this word to find out what not to do. So don't go burning down people's buildings because someone was harmed, right? We seek justice in America. That's what we want. Justice. Let's go to Acts 28. verse 16. It says, now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldiers who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against this people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go. See that? They wanted to let him go. Because they were trying to practice the justice that was, you know, Roman law. Okay? Because there was no cause for putting me to death. No cause. But some people wanted him dead. But Paul overcame all of that. So we can overcome with God's help. We'll all eventually die, but while we yet live, while the blood is running warm in our veins, we should walk with God. There are a lot of difficulties, a lot of doctrine that's being taught that we need to avoid and turn away from. So God is saying, believe what I say. Open up your ears and hear what I have to say to you. And believe on the Son of God, whom God sent to redeem sinners. Do what God told us to do. Because he wants us to overcome. Well, how do you know he wants us to overcome? Huh? How do we know? For God sent his Son to redeem us. When we were yet sinners, aliens from God and from the commonwealth, he sent his Son. Came to see about us, to help us. That's why he cares. That's why we know he cares. And he wants us to overcome this world. And he says, occupy until I come, because he's going to fulfill all his promises that he has made unto his church. Be encouraged to continue with him, continue to seek him, learn of him, and follow him. So that when he returns, you will be ready to meet him with joy in your heart. He that overcomes will receive the promises of God. He made his promises and he'll keep them to his people. Those that love him and waiting on him. Those that obey him. Stand up when he says stand up. When the world says stand up, let's go do this, that, and the other, you say, no, Scripture say don't do that. Right? So that when we're followers of Jesus, Scripture says Jesus did not sin. So we're striving to not sin so that we could be pleasing to God just like Jesus was when he was in the flesh. So keep calling on God and striving to be what he would have us to be. Because his promises are sure. Mm-hmm. And then when you overcome, you'll meet the king. Instead of fighting, trying to line up the fight against him, you'll be there waiting, just waiting for him. Say, come on. He's going to call you up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord because we have overcome this sick world. Thank God.